Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
Happy to be with you, Bruce.
As part of its July newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly global and domestic disease monitoring reports. First of all, what are the trends we're seeing domestically, and what's the significance of those trends?
Sure. Domestically, we look at each month, we look at PERS, we look at PEV, we look at mycoplasma, as well as then some syndromes, VNS syndromes, for example. First, let's talk about PERS. In PERS, there was an increase in the wean to finish category this month. We saw an increase in that, and we think that that's from the flow and early spring outbreaks that happened. One of the things that we can look at for all of these issues, whether PERS, PEB, mycoplasma, is the COVID experience and the impact that's had on packing plants and the backup that has occurred. That backup means that we've got more animals on the farm, they're kept in closer quarters, and the marketing is delayed, so the flow is delayed. For PERS specifically, the probable reason, one of the big reasons for the increase in wean to finish category, is that those animals are being held longer on the farm. There's probably more commingling going on these sites because pigs have to move in order to find a spot for further growth while they're waiting to go to market. So we think this COVID situation and the packing plant situation is affecting health, especially with PERS. With PED, PED has decreased from this spring, and that's probably not all unexpected. There are seasonal trends with PED, and certainly the high temperatures and during the summer, you'd expect PED to go down. But one of the things, again, with COVID, is that it's possible that all of the COVID economics and the effects on the markets, the effects on producers and their marketing may have meant that we're sending in less to the diagnostic labs to test for PED as well. That may influence the economics, may influence the testing frequency, the testing strategies, and those types of things. So we're not so sure that the decrease could be a combination of seasonal as well as less testing that's going on because of the economics of COVID. With mycoplasma, the mycoplasma is within the expected upper and lower limits for this time of year. We have about 18% of the cases that are submitted to the diagnostic lab have been positive when tested by PCR, and that's right within the normal limits. So I think that's going on as we would expect.
What should producers be watching at this point, and what are the recommendations as a result?
Well, part of the domestic disease watch for and recommendations relate to the international diseases as well. What you watch for and recommendations is to not be complacent and to always, in a mortality event, engage a veterinarian, engage a health professional to get a diagnosis. It's extremely important, not only for your management on your farm yourself with PERS, PED, or some other things that may be happening on your farm, but also as it relates to the potential for foreign animal diseases entering countries, entering North America. The way that we will stop those things as quickly as possible is finding them as quickly as possible. And that means that any time there's an adverse health event, whether it's an increase in morbidity or a mortality event, that producers get with their veterinarians right away. So they don't assume that they know what they have, but they get confirmation and know that it's not a foreign animal disease that needs to be addressed.
The Swine Health Information Center's domestic disease report has been expanded to include state-by-state pathogen trends. How does this change the manner in which infections are being monitored and tracked? And what prompted that change?
Well, I think I'm excited about that change because that's an opportunity to give more localized information. When I just talked about with PRRS, PED, and mycoplasma, that's national information. And this gets more localized. Anytime you can get localized and still respect producer business and producer confidentiality, it gives the opportunity to have more localized control and more localized reaction as well. So I'm excited about this upgrade that helps give a heat map, if you will, of these different diseases and their status in different states. So we're going state by state to try to give people information about increases or hot spots per month for these different diseases so they can be aware if they're moving pigs to or getting pigs from those areas that tend to be hotter than the others. They can ask more questions of their veterinarian and have them help them with making sure that they're up to date in whatever management procedures they're going to use.
What are the anticipated benefits of monitoring pathogen trends state by state?
It's the localized, I think it's the most important thing is the more localized information leads to more localized ability to manage. Awareness. It increases your awareness so you can talk to your veterinarian, whether you're sending pigs to the hot spots or getting them from the hot spots to make sure that you can do the best you can do to manage the health of your herd.
In terms of the Global Swine Disease Monitoring Report, what stands out and why?
Well, African swine fever, of course, continues to go. And I can talk about that in just a second. For foot and mouth disease, that's sporadic infections all around the globe, just as it always has been. We are at the risk of importation of foot and mouth disease and classical swine fever, just as we have been before. But African swine fever, I think, is really the pathogen right now with the way that's moving around the world, that we are the most risk of becoming infected. That has increased. There's no doubt that our risk for ASF has increased, while the risks for FMD and CSF are still there, and they're still important. But African swine fever is the current hot disease internationally. China, Southeast Asia, India, Western Poland continues to get new infections, continues to move, and that's something that we absolutely need to monitor and pay very close attention to prevent it from getting into North America.
What have been the latest developments in terms of ASF globally, and where are we seeing this infection showing up at this point?
Yeah, in China, Southeast Asia, all throughout the Southeast Pacific, ASF continues to move. It's gotten into India, so it's continuing to move west from there. The one big concern is in Eastern Europe, and Russia, Poland, the Baltic states all remain infected. As the infection started in Eastern Poland, it has moved west. First identified in feral pigs in Western Poland and then in commercial pigs. So it continues to spread there. And that's something that is of special interest for all of the EU, because all of the EU imports pork from Poland. That pork moves throughout the EU, so they have to pay attention to the zoning of the positive zones, as well as it moves internationally. So I think Poland is of special interest, but certainly China and Vietnam, with their efforts to repopulate their herds, we expect that that we're going to continue to see ASF infections going on in the pretty far future.
We have a report of almost 20,000 pounds of smuggled food products being smuggled from China into the U.S. being seized. What concern does that development create?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to note, Bruce. Thanks for bringing that up. One of the things that we talk about with African swine fever, and I've heard it from multiple veterinarians, is, well, our risk must be decreased because international travel has just stopped. And so we're not getting any international travel anymore, so our risk has gone down. And I think that's probably right. But let's give that a little bit more thought, because this issue, just like the 20,000 pounds of pork, beef, chicken, and duck that has been seized in the western U.S. From April to June, is an indication that even though international travel's down, there still is that attempt at illegal export, illegal import of meat products from the Far East. And so that continues, and that's probably a bigger risk than even the international traveler bringing in a sandwich, because 20,000 pounds of meat products coming into the country is quite a bit. And so that continues with our as a concern, and that's something to absolutely be aware of. The interception at the ports of entry from CBP, the Customs and Border Protection, has increased by 70% over the period from October to February. Then we get to April and June, that 20,000 pounds. It's a 70% increase over the first 5 months of the fiscal year 2020, which started in October of 2019. So that certainly has not decreased because of COVID and because of international travel. And I think that's probably one of the biggest risks we have of introduction of ASF into North America.
How can the public assist when it comes to illegal food products coming in from other countries? And just how important is public awareness?
Well, there are a number of different government programs for surveillance to try to track those down, but certainly those programs don't have the coverage that we could get from consumers in looking at the source of the products that they may access, especially in specialty markets and those types of niche markets, that that is that type of product being sold there. Asking where this came from, the source, noting where it came from and the source, if it's packaged, and letting a government official know if it's coming from a country that's positive for ASF, coming outside of the USF or USA, anywhere that's coming outside of the USA. I think awareness is the biggest issue here to prevention, and we need everybody's cooperation to make sure that we don't have illegal products coming into those markets.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think for the international side, Bruce, that we're working on improving the system. We're working on incorporating a better network of veterinary diagnostic lab information from around the world. I'm kind of excited about seeing that improvement as it comes. Hopefully, within the next month or two, we'll have even more information about international disease for everybody to have access to.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bruce. It's nice to be with you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.